that's it. Let a praise come from your heart today. Hallelujah. Let a shout of triumph. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you. I bless you. I praise you. Hallelujah. Always a cry that comes from people that say, Lord, I need you to bless me. In fact, we used to sing a song, oh Lord, I need a blessing. But that song says to bless him. And the psalmist had to just remind us. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Because sometimes we're just so worried about God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And he said, I just need to stop and say, you know what, I need to bless you, Lord. I need to thank you, Lord. And I know when he has blessed us, amen, that there is that thanksgiving that we want to reciprocate it. He's been good to us. Why don't you give him another blessing, another praise, another thanksgiving, some more love from your heart, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Jesus. We praise and exalt you, Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift up your name. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Of course, the thing about that is when we bless him, we know that he in turn does bless us, doesn't he? And it's so good to feel his presence in this place, to know that Jesus is in the house. Amen. And to know that when he is here, anything can happen in your life. Amen. Whatever you have need of, whatever is going on in your life, God can work things out. God can minister. God can touch. God can bless. God can heal. God can provide, because that's the kind of God that he is. Aren't you glad to know Jesus? Amen. I know you are. That's it. Go ahead and thank him one more time. Lord, we praise your name. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. It's already been mentioned, but good to have several guests with us. We're so glad you're at Apostolic Pentecostal Church this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust that you too are enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. That he is touching your life. We're going to turn to his word this morning. Amen. Look to the word of the Lord for a very old message. You've heard many times, but I've felt on my heart to preach this week. Amen. Amber, any idea what book I might choose? Don't know. How about Hebrews? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. I want to read a portion of scripture we've heard many times. Beginning at verse 11, it said this, but Christ, being a come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place and has obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then down to verse 22, and he says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The song been going through my mind for the last couple weeks. I think the choir sings it sometimes. It says, only the blood. Only the blood, the precious blood. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? It's an old message, but I'm thankful for it, aren't you? Why don't you just give him a thanksgiving today for his blood that he shed for us? Lord, we're so thankful for the blood that you shed. Hallelujah, Lord. We're so thankful, God, for what you have done in our lives because of your blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Just because it's an old message and just because we heard it many times, let's not just gloss over that, but let's think again about what the blood can do in our life. The Bible has many motifs. It has many themes that we see from Genesis to Revelation. You see them over and over. You think about in the beginning, God created light. And we see how the light shines in darkness. The darkness doesn't comprehend it. And we see that theme going all the way throughout our Bible. We see the theme of the image of God, how he created man in his own image, and that how man corrupted that image, and then how that Jesus came to conform us to the image of his Son. And so we see that theme or that motif. We see about the power of the Word of God, the power that could speak worlds into existence. And then Jesus comes along and he speaks the Word and people are healed. And he speaks the Word and lives are touched. And we see how he gives this power to his followers to say, just speak and things can be done. The power of the Word of God. We see the work of the Spirit in the Bible, how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, even in the book of Genesis. And we see it all through the Bible, how the Spirit comes to live in our hearts. But many other topics we could go into in this amazing book. But there's one idea that permeates Scripture probably like no other. And we see it in the opening chapters and we find it all the way into the closing book. And some have referred to it as the crimson cord that runs through the Bible. That red cord, that idea of blood. And that motif is absolutely necessary, is the absolute necessity of the blood. Well, many groups have diminished its prevalence and some have stopped preaching its message. Some have taken it out of their worship songs. But we declare today that it is only through the blood that we can be saved. It's only because of the blood that Jesus shed that we can have eternal life. Take away the cleansing for the blood and we're nothing more than sinners that are destined for damnation. I thank God for the blood. Amen. I said I'm thankful for the blood this morning. You might ask, why the blood? What is its significance? Why did God choose blood? It's not something we like to talk about, not something we like to see sometimes. Some people get squeamish when they see blood. Some people faint when they see blood. What does it mean to be washed in the blood? What power does the blood have in our life? Is it relevant for us today? Is it something we still need to be talking about? But I trust by the time we leave this morning, we'll have a fresh understanding, a great appreciation of the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Better yet, I pray that someone will come to the fountain and have their sins cleansed today. I pray that someone will say, you know what? I need the blood in my life. Amen. I need God to cover my sin. The Lord declared through Isaiah, he said, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it's all through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. To understand the significance of the blood, we have to go way back to the Old Testament. We said this theme goes all the way through the Bible, so we begin at the beginning. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to preach every verse and every chapter. Aren't you glad? If we did, we would be here much longer than noon. As it is, I don't think we will be. But we could look at God's slaying of animals to provide a covering for Adam and Eve after they partook of the forbidden fruit to see the necessity of the shedding of blood. We could look a few chapters later as God accepted Abel's sacrifice from the flocks of a lamb that he offered. And God looked upon that sacrifice and was pleased with the shedding of blood. But yet he rejected Cain's offering of the fruit of the ground. We could look at the sacrifices offered by Abraham and by Isaac and by Jacob. And we could discuss the slaying of the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus and where the blood had to be put on the doorpost to ensure that the death angel would pass over that house. And we could go on throughout the scripture, many more examples. But to answer the why of the blood, I think we have to look to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, where God says in his law, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. And we'll come back to that idea of an atonement a little bit later on, but for now, let's look at the first part of that verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. In fact, you could equate the two as you look through the Word of God, life and blood. When you think of blood, we think of life. And that is another great motif that we see in the Bible, is that at life. In the beginning, the Bible says the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God is a God of life. He is a creator of life. He created the life that we know, but he didn't stop there, because Jesus said later on, he said, I am come that they might have life, but not just life, but that they might have it more abundantly. I mean, I'm thankful for the life that we breathe in the natural, but I'm thankful he comes for a more abundant life that we can live through this knowing Jesus Christ. And the promise from the beginning to the end, as you look through Scripture, is that of an eternal life. Eternal life. Now, the flip side of that, the warning that was given to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:3 was this: but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God had said, "You shall not eat it, neither touch it, lest ye die." And because they disobeyed God, Paul tells us that death passed upon all men, for that all have sins. And so while we all now face a physical death, we also understand that without God, we are also spiritually dead. Without God, the Bible tells us we are lost in our trespasses, dead in our trespasses and sins. Spiritually, in other words, we have died. And we begin to see now the significance of the blood. The blood of the animals shed in the Old Testament was to act as a substitution for the life of the man who sinned. It was the life of the innocent that was given for the life of the guilty. It was to shed the blood of something that could not sin, really, for those that had sin and to cover those sins. Of course, we understand that the blood of bulls and goats, the scripture that we read, can never take away those sins, but it pushed it forward. But the concept is there that blood must have been shed for one to live again. Unless you feel it doesn't apply to you or it doesn't apply to me, the Bible makes it very clear. Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He goes on to say that the wages of sin is death. And so we understand that because we've all sinned, that we have all have wages to pay that we will receive, and that is death. And there's a lot more of that concept that we could explore, but I want us to look before we move on to one other thing. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were made for sin. But the verse that we read, the Bible tells us it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Those sacrifices that we made were at best a temporary solution. But it was only after the sacrifice of the one that John said, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's only after Jesus died on the cross. It's only after he poured out his blood that we could live again, that his perfect, his innocent, his sinless life would be given for our dead, our sinful, our useless life. And how did he give his life? He shed his blood, for life is in the blood. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that he shed it for you, that you might live? Hallelujah, that you did not have to continue in the spiritual death. In the words of the old song, and sometimes we sing it here, "In sin I wandered sore and sad, bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away." And how did he do that? He did it by shedding his blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want the abundant life Jesus offers, if you want the promise of eternal life, then you have to have the blood on your life. Not just any blood, but Peter said it this way. He said, "It is the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." We need the blood. So what does the blood do for us? We talk about the covering. We talk about the blood being given. Let's look again at that verse, Leviticus 17:11. I said it'd come back to that. He said, "I have given you the blood to make atonement for your sins." Now, we've been around this stuff a long time, haven't we? We've heard the word atonement. We've heard some of these other words that we're going to make. And sometimes I think we talk in those terms. We say, the blood makes atonement. And those that haven't been around say, okay, that's great. What in the world's atonement? Let's try to explain that a little bit. Very simply, when we talk about that, the word in its most basic form literally means a covering. The blood makes atonement for sin. In other words, simply put, the blood covers our sins. We've already said we've all sinned. But the blood can cover that sin. Jesus shed his blood to cover my sin and to cover yours. He gave his life that we might live. He gave his life so that he could take our sins and say, you know what? I'm going to cover it up. You know, when there's something glaring and there's something, some kind of thing that we don't want other people to see, we want to cover it up, don't we? And we stand in the presence of God and we realize, as Adam and Eve did, their sin and their nakedness, they begin to say, you know what, we have to cover ourselves. And they tried all they can, but it took the shedding of blood, and the shedding of Jesus' blood covers sin. There's another theological word, and we throw it out there and we read it in Romans 3:25. It said that God hath set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And we preach, he's my propitiation. Well, what in the world is a propitiation? Anybody got an idea? I know a couple of you do. The word too, though, conveys the idea of a covering. It means a few other things, but elsewhere it is also translated as the mercy seat. The mercy seat is what covered the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God dwelt. And so he said it was a covering. It was where the priest would sit as he would go in every year on the Day of Atonement, and he would sit on the mercy seat. And God would look down if everything was done correctly and the blood was applied correctly, and he would have mercy on his people. So the covering that God gives also expresses the idea of a clearing of the guilty. Why do we need the blood? Because, number one, it covers our sins, but also because it removes our guilt. Because God looks upon us who deserve judgment, but he says, I am going to have mercy because I see the blood on the mercy seat. Aren't you thankful for a merciful God? There's no greater feeling to know that you no longer have to live with a load of sin. That you no longer have to go along with a guilt of sin. Because once they're covered by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, their sins I will remember no more. No wonder Paul declared in Romans, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go day by day wondering, oh God, have you forgiven my sin? Oh God, why do I have to live with this load of sin? Because he said, you know what, I'm going to cover it with my blood. The one song says it this way, would you be free from your burden of sins? There's power in the blood. Aren't you thankful for the power in the blood that has covered your sin? Jesus paid the price to cover your sin. He has covered them with his blood. In fact, he said in Hebrews 10, he said, this is the covenant I will make in those days, saith the Lord. I'm going to put my law in my heart. I'm going to write it in their minds. I will write them. He said, and their sins and their iniquities, God said, I will remember no more. I'm thankful those things are covered up. They're covered up. Now, some might ask, well, isn't covering sin kind of like sweeping something under the rug? None of you young people have ever been told to clean your room and you just stick it under here and kick it in the closet. Room's clean. Some get the idea, well, if you just cover sin, it's just kind of still there lurking. You know, it's a skeleton in the closet. It's something that's always there. Does the blood cover my sin, but underneath it's still there? Let me answer that for you, or attempt to. Not only are your sins covered when the blood is applied, but the Bible also said they are remitted. In other words, the debt is forgiven, restitution is made, and nothing more is owed. The old song says it this way, Jesus paid it all. Aren't you thankful the blood not only just covered my sin, he paid the price to take them out of the way. He has redeemed us, the Bible says, with his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We've got the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Another song said, I had a debt I could not pay, and it was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me. How? He redeemed me by his blood. He not only covered my sin, but he paid the price. To redeem means to pay the price or to buy something back. So those sins aren't just covered up to be pulled back later. They're not just pushed out of the side so they can be brought up again and again. But once they're under the blood, not only are they covered, but they're paid full and full. And they're remembered no more. And you never have to deal with them again. Why go through life with a debt of sin owed to your Creator? Why not say, Lord, let your blood cover me and let the price of your blood cover my sin? And maybe this will help some of you. I know sometimes, depending on what we've done in our life, and I've been there where you've repented of your sins, and even though you repented, maybe you came back and you felt guilty about it again, and you repented again for them, and you repented again. There's another song that says it this way, what sins are you talking about? I already paid for him. I already covered him. And sometimes we walk around with condemnation because of a past and because of what we did and what we were. And God's saying, you know what? I already took care of that. Forget it. The blood covers and it pays for our sins. Forgives our sins, remits our sins. It also forgives our sins, and then it justifies us. There's another one of those terms. That's actually a legal term. You're justified. But Paul said it this way, much more than being now, we are justified by his blood. Have you ever had someone say they forgive you for something you did, yet every time you get around them, they bring it up? You're only laughing because you know it's true, right? Yeah, don't worry about it. I forgive you. And every time something comes up, it comes back around. Or every time you see them, you're reminded that you were guilty. Justification means that God doesn't look at us as guilty. He looks at us as righteous. He considers us, how can he consider us sinners to be righteous? Here's how he sees us through the blood. He understands that blood covers him. The blood makes us right in the sight of God. Now, in our legal system, there's a couple things that can happen. One, you can get a sentence commuted. In other words, you did the crime, you're supposed to pay the time, but someone says, you know what, I'm just going to commute that. Don't worry about it. You were sentenced for life. I'll give you one, go 1 year, go out and do some good deeds in the community, and we'll just call it good. That means you don't have to serve everything that you deserved by what the law said. However, a commuted sentence is not justification, because you still did the crime and you're still guilty of it. God doesn't just commute our sentence and say, well, I'll just kind of overlook that. I won't throw you in hell. But you just go along with that life living as a convicted sinner. No, he cleans off the record. He says, you know what? They're not guilty. He forgives and he forgets and he says, the slate is clean. You can be free from all your past sins if you just allow him to justify those sins by his blood. One person said it this way, it is just as if I had never done those things. Now, man can't do that. There's always the remembrance. There's always the record. There's always, but God says, you know what? It's gone. I'm wiping it clean. Aren't you thankful for the power of the blood? You can be free. Not guilty. Blood takes care of our sins. It covers those sins. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. And we could go on talking about that. If you need God to cover you with his blood today, he can cover those sins. He can pay the price for those. He can justify you and say you are no longer guilty of sin. But it is not only that, but it benefits us in a relationship with God. The Bible makes it very clear that sin is an affront to God. It's violating his law. It's literally, the Bible tells us to be at war with our Creator. It talks about that sin puts enmity between us and God. In other words, he is our enemy. But the Bible says this, Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross, and he's reconciled all things unto himself. And you who were sometimes alienated, and he said you were enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now he has reconciled. One of the great benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ is that we're at peace with God. No more do you have to lay down at night and wonder, Lord, if you come tonight, am I going to be ready? No longer are we tormented by thoughts that come from no one. I'm not right with God and I don't know what's going to happen. I hope he doesn't come today. And in those quiet moments when we reflect on our lives, we don't have to fear the certain judgment that's coming on this world. Why? Because there is a peace with God. Aren't you thankful to know him and you can look to him and say, you know what, I don't have to fear what is going to happen in my life. I can truly say it is well with my soul because his blood has covered me. I don't have to worry about judgment. I don't have to worry about hell that was created for the devil and his angels. I don't have to worry about those things because there is peace with my God. And if you can't say that this morning, I pray that before you leave this place, you find peace with God. It's not in what you do. It's in accepting the blood that he has shed for you. He's already prepared for the way. What you need to do is respond to the fount of Calvary and be covered by his blood. And because we have peace with God, the Bible tells us that we can come boldly into his presence. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off. You're made nigh. You're brought close by the blood of Christ. You know, it's difficult to be in the presence of someone you got a quarrel with. You just know things aren't quite right. It's hard to even be in the same room sometimes. You know, you kind of sit on the other side and a group of friends over there talking about this and a group of friends and you're looking at it, so they're probably talking about me. This is going on. Aren't you thankful when you come into the presence of God and when you're covered by his blood, there's peace. and you can draw nigh to him. You can come nigh into his presence. You know, we tend to avoid those people. We look for excuses not to be in the same room. And when there's sin in our lives, we look for excuses not to come into the presence of God. I've heard people say, I don't want to come to church because I know what will happen when I come to church. The presence of God is going to be there, and I know where I am, and I know what I'm living, and I know what I'm doing, and it's just going to make me uncomfortable. And I know if I do come that I'm probably going to get convicted, and I'm probably going to repent, and God's going to touch my life. And they choose to stay away because they don't want what's going to happen if they get too close to the power of God. But to those who were covered by his blood, like David, they say, you know what? I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house. Well, I want to get in his presence. I want to feel his touch. Why? Because the blood has covered my sin, because it is justified, because it has paid the price. And we have no qualms about being around the things of God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near, the Bible says, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You can come boldly into his presence and say, you know what, I want to be in your presence, Lord. I want to feel your touch. I want to be in your house. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Why? Because the blood covers me. No longer do we feel him, but because of his blood, we long to be in the presence of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. Not only are we at peace, and not only do we want to draw nigh to him, and are able to draw close to him, but the Bible says he sanctifies us with his blood. Another one of those words we throw around. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. That term, it literally means we are set apart. God says, you know what? You are my people. And I set you apart to myself. I always think about the good dishes that you keep in the cabinet for special occasions and you pull them out. They're set apart. We don't use them to just throw around when you want a sandwich at midnight. What are you doing in the china cabinet? Well, I just felt like throwing some nachos in the microwave. Set apart. Something special. It's to be placed in a special position, to be set aside for God's purpose. Who, me, you might ask? Why would God choose to use me? Why would he have a sinner like me and say, you know what, I'm going to set you. Can I tell you, when you have the blood on the life, you're a great value to the kingdom of God? Peter said it like this. He said, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar or a special people to God, that you should show forth praises to him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have mercy. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul looked at his life, and here's what he said. He said, God saves sinners, of which I am chief. He said, when I look at my life, he said, I was the worst. I persecuted the church of God. I did everything I could to destroy the church. I went out of my way. I tried to have them killed. I tried to have them thrown in prison. I did everything I could to destroy the church. Yet when God sanctified him, he said this, Paul, I have chosen you for a work. I have chosen you. And while none of us may be like Paul, yet all of us can find things. God, why would you use me? But yet when he looks at you through the blood, he said, you know what? I've chosen you. Yeah, but you don't know my... Yeah, he knows your past. And you don't understand what I've been through. And you don't understand this. And he said, you know what? I'm looking at you through the blood, and I've chosen you to work in my kingdom. And that's why Paul wrote, he said, know ye not that unrighteous don't inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled about it. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He said, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you. And when we look back at our life, we say, yes, I know I was involved in things I shouldn't have been in. There was sin in my life. And that's what I was. He said, but now you are washed and you are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Let me conclude with one more benefit of the blood as the musicians come. We usually talk about the Lord's Supper. Some call it a Eucharist. Some call it communion. We take communion. Paul says this, the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion that we take, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Being covered by his blood enters us into the fellowship of the people of God. I remind people around me sometimes when we have communion, and we usually close with greeting one another, there is no communion without community. You know, you don't go home and say, I'm going to have communion today, and you set out a little bit of grape juice and a little bread and have communion, because there's no community. We do it when we come together. There's an old chorus that said it this way, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And John said it this way, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the last benefit of the blood of Jesus Christ is it puts us in the family of God. It puts us in his family. Interesting passage. I read part of it in Leviticus where it's talking about life was in the blood. That passage also told the Israelites very specifically, don't eat blood. Don't eat flesh that has blood in it. Pour the blood out. And the Jews till this day have a way that they butcher to make sure there's no blood left in the meat. They drain it all out because they refuse to eat blood. Jesus came along and said to his disciples in John, he said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can have no part. You know why the Bible says it was a hard saying and many people left? Because they were Jews. And they said, we don't drink blood. What's wrong with you? The law says not to do it. And we understand what Jesus was talking about when he was going to shed his blood, and he wanted us to remember what he was saying is, I am giving my life to put inside your dead spiritual life. Take my blood, and his blood flows through our veins. We walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Let's stand this morning. If you have not yet let the blood cover your life, can I tell you it's available today? It still works. It's still flowing. Now you say, you're talking about blood. I don't see anything up here. We're not having communion today. You're not going to pour it out. You're not going to do like the Old Testament and take blood and literally sprinkle it on people. We don't do that. How do I get the blood on my life? We said there is no remission without the shedding of blood. There's no forgiveness of sin. There's no paying for that debt without blood. The Bible says it this way in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of your sin. So how do I get the blood? It's when I come to an altar and I say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and I need your help. And I need you to cover me. And we die out to ourself, and then we take that dead man, if you will, and bury it in the waters of baptism, and those sins are washed away, and that blood gets applied to our life. You know what? God's plan has never changed, and it never will. If you want the blood of Jesus, why don't you just come down to this altar? Amen. If you've already done it many times, why don't you come again and say, Lord, I'm just going to call upon your name and upon your blood. I'm going to, if nothing else, why don't you just come and thank him for the covering that he has done, the paying the price for your sins, putting you in fellowship with him, allowing you to draw near into his presence, draw nigh unto him. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, why don't you come and lift your hands at this altar and say, Lord, I want it. I want it to cover my sins. I want to be a part of that fellowship. I want to draw nigh to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want your blood to work in my life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. That's it. Why don't you come today? Why don't you come today? Hallelujah. Don't turn your back on it when it's offered. And his blood is here. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. That's it. Call upon him. Hallelujah. Call upon him. Lord, we need your blood to cover us.